Welcome to the Sports Equity Podcast. Here we talk to special guests from teams, brands, and agencies to discuss the value that sports brings to business through current trends and best practices with your host, Brett Weisbrot.
Our guest is a graduate from the University of Miami with an extensive background in sports and entertainment, now leading ticket sales and service through Learfield IMG College Ticket Solutions for the University of Memphis. Today, we welcome Caleb Weath to the program.
Hello, Brett. Thank you. Thanks. Pleasure to be here and opportunity to join all the tremendous guests that you've had on thus far.
Yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation and I guess talk about where you've been and to where you are now. So, Caleb, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and where you're from?
Sure. So I was born in East Lansing, Michigan, a little bit of an Army brat. So I was counting before this call, and actually this is the 11th city I've lived in now, Memphis. So I grew up mostly in Germany and Newport News, Virginia, played a ton of sports growing up and most passionate myself about ice hockey, played junior hockey growing up in high school.
That's awesome. And, you know, where would you say, you know, at a young age, you first grew that passion for sports?
Sure. So my first sporting event, I can actually recall going with my dad to the, it was an exhibition game when we were living in Berlin, Germany. The Vikings played the Buffalo Bills. So got to see Chris Carter and Warren Moon against Jim Kelly and the Bills at the old Berlin Olympic Coliseum, and really became a huge sports fan from that point on. My first job ever was actually at Newport News Golf Club in Virginia. So just as a, you know, the cart range attendant that everybody tries to aim their balls at when you go to the driving range. But from there, played a ton of sports in high school, played junior hockey with a team called the Junior Whalers in Hampton Roads, Virginia, and was extremely passionate from that point on.
And, you know, in high school, right, you know, still talking young Caleb here, you know, why the decision to go to college in Miami?
That's a real good question, because I had actually never been to Miami, didn't know anybody in Miami before applying there. Really wanted to go to schools near near beaches that were great schools. So oddly enough, growing up in Newport News, Virginia, I was about an hour from Virginia Beach. So spent a lot of my time either at the hockey rink or at the beach. So during high school, Miami sent me a ton of literature, and ended up applying in 2004 is when I applied. So they were still somewhat coming off their heyday with great years in football and baseball. So being the Army brat that I was, it made it a little bit easier to pick up and go to a city where I didn't know anybody and had never been. So Miami was the best school that I got into academically, and it was a great opportunity to head down there in 2005.
And I know that you're very passionate about the U, right? You know, the University of Miami, right, from your time there and, you know, being entrenched in the athletic space. You know, how would you, you know, like excited young Caleb, how would you talk about that experience being there at the U?
It was awesome. So funny story, I actually started as a computer management science major. So didn't start as a freshman with focus in sports administration, but actually got into, I think, one or two classes and decided that probably wasn't going to be the best major for me. Ended up switching to sports administration, and South Florida is a great place to get started in sports. Specifically at Miami, it's a great program. So really ended up being a great experience. I dove in and got involved with a lot of organizations and teams in the area, and it was a great opportunity to network and meet a lot of people that have gone to different teams all over the country now.
And when you talk about organizations, you know, what organizations on campus were you involved with, maybe in the sports space while you were in school?
Sure. So one I can remember that I believe is still active on campus at the University of Miami is an organization called U Sport. It was the on-campus sports administration kind of campus organization. We got together and volunteered at events and had different speakers come out, did some site visits. But then I also was lucky enough during my junior year to have a professor reach out to me that I had had a couple courses with, and get involved with the Michael Irvin Playmaker Foundation. So I was able to intern with them through Professor Dr. Scott that I had taken courses with previously. So that was a great opportunity. I was with that internship planning some events for Michael Irvin's charity around a golf tournament, some charity galas, different youth clinics. And so I got to rub elbows with a lot of Hall of Famers and, you know, pro NFL football players.
And what was their priority at the time? You know, what areas was Michael and his people giving back to?
So he actually, his charity had a base in Miami, of course, with his roots there, and then also Dallas, being that he played with the Cowboys. So in each of those areas, there's focus on the youth, with clinics that he would host with different pro players, and then also doing a ton of charity events that would then give back to the youth in the area. So all of the funds we generated through the golf tournament, auctions, and, you know, different, you know, events where we got a ton of celebrities out and had a good time, all of that went directly back to youth programs in the communities.
That's awesome. And, you know, what other industry experience would you say you got during college, maybe internships or street teams, you know, maybe more in the professional space?
Sure. Yeah. So before I even had that internship opportunity, I had the opportunity to work part-time, really beginning with my second or third semester of college at the American Airlines Arena with the Miami Heat. So that was around the time they won their first championship with Shaq and Wade, and, you know, great time to be there, really at the windows working ticket sales and will call. Being a college student, I remember I would ride the Metro Rail to Government Center in downtown Miami and then hop on the Metro Mover and walk to work. So it was, you know, a really, really the definition of a college part-time job. But then also had an opportunity to intern with the Florida Panthers, which is where we actually cross paths, if I'm not mistaken. I think you and Matt Firestone, or if not Scott Urban, a couple of your former guests interviewed me for my internship there. So that was ended up being two or three internships while I was there with the Panthers. Spent over a year working with that organization. Great group of people as well. And then also had the opportunity to spend some time with the Florida Marlins street team. So
that's pretty cool.
a lot of different things going on.
So tell us about that Panthers internship. What did that role look like, being an intern for one of the best premium seating teams in the business?
Yes. Yeah, so as you know, you were a part of that team. So it was great. I actually learned a lot about premium seating and everything that goes into hosting clients and building those relationships. It's not as transactional as maybe a single game or season ticket sales. So, and actually at that internship, I got my first real hands-on ticket sales experience. I remember one day, I think the premium seating team was good to go in terms of activities and duties for me to help out with. So I got a list, and I think all the other interns were also working through calls trying to sell the monster truck, I forget the name of it, the monster truck series that was coming to town, and we were calling past buyers, and everybody was, you know, just trying to grind out as many calls as they could and get some sales. And I remember getting my first sale for some monster truck tickets, and that's when I was hooked. So,
and operationally speaking, you know, what would you say you learned about maybe helping the premium areas be ready on a game day and doing maybe some of the grunt work that not everyone sees on the back end?
Yeah, I remember specifically with hockey, we had 41 home events at least, and then there were concerts that we also hosted. And for all of the club areas, I would go through on game day, make sure they were set up, from just cleaning things up, and then also putting the nameplates on the seats for the different corporate partners. And I remember one day having to get like a butter knife to get some scrape some of those off, because there were some partners that had been on there for quite a few years. But also going through the suites, you know, making sure chairs are pushed in, things are ready to go. So when a client arrives on game day, it's a top-notch experience, and it's same experience every time.
You know, talking about all this experience, right? You know, before, you know, while you were still in college and trying to figure things out, but how would you say these different experiences help set you up for where you wanted to be long term?
Yeah, so like I said, there were a lot of great connections that I formed at each of these organizations. Some of the sales trees from the Florida Panthers with Chad Johnson and his team that was all over the country now, Scott and yourself. And then also with the Miami Heat, Kevin DePlaga and Mark Brown and Marcus Madlock, who was my mentor. They all have led and have great leadership trees all across the country that have gone to amazing places. So myself personally, with the part-time position at the Miami Heat, I was able to piggyback that directly into the full-time position out of college that I started with the inside sales role at the Miami Heat.
So talking about that, right, you know, graduating college, the Miami Heat's your first full-time opportunity. You know, how did you enjoy working the Heat with the Heat, both in operational and sales capacities there?
It was great. So I was actually working in the ticket office when I got the call and was offered the position for the inside sales role with the Miami Heat. So it was about two weeks before my graduation. I got a call from Marcus Madlock while I was sitting there at the window selling some tickets for an event that weekend, and had the opportunity to start a full-time position inside sales, selling full season tickets, partial plans, group tickets for the Miami Heat, which is at the time was a great opportunity with the team and coming out of school.
And if I were to give Marcus a call and ask him, what would he say about you and your work ethic at the time?
Well, that's where I really set myself apart. I used that opportunity to transition into the inside sales role and be the hardest working person I could in the room. You know, set a great foundation with everything that I learned operationally, but then the sales was just being as hardworking as I could while honing my craft along the way. So I hope he'd give you a good recommendation.
And, you know, how would you say you were at selling early on?
You know, it came somewhat naturally. I think everybody is a little raw when you start out selling. But, you know, for myself, having that little bit of foundation from the time at the Panthers and a lot of great leaders around me to help me hone my craft, it was really just a matter of hustling as much as I could and fine-tuning things along the way.
And, you know, you talked a little bit about Marcus, you know, Marcus and others there, you know, how did those people play a big impact on your career?
So the sports world is, as you know, a very small world. So having a lot of great leaders and mentors around you really is just going to help set you apart and get you the next level. So another great mentor at the time was Wes England, who was at the Panthers. He actually helped me get that internship there when he spoke to one of my sports administration classes in college, professor that he had also had when he was in school, you know, approached him after the class and let him know how passionate I was in sports and specifically ice hockey. And that set me up for the interview with the premium seating team and yourself.
And, you know, just, you know, talking through kind of the years right now, I know after the Heat, well, what happened, you know, what happened at the Heat there that caused you to transition?
So ultimately, there was an event LeBron hosted on ESPN known as the signing, where we ran out of inventory, which is a great thing. We had sold so many tickets and had such a huge swell of season ticket sales when LeBron made the announcement he was coming to South Beach that the inside sales team transitioned out of house for the Heat. They were no longer having an inside sales team for about a year or so. So we had to transition to different roles.
And, you know, coming out of that, right, you evolved and you grew into the collegiate space working at Rutgers in sales. How did that opportunity come about?
The opportunity came about. I actually attended a career fair at the Rock, the Prudential Center in New Jersey, So my brother was living there at the time, which made the transition easier. But really, one thing in sports that I've learned is you have to go find the jobs in sports. They don't always come find you. So made an effort to get out to as many career fairs and get in front of as many opportunities as I could.
That's great. And what would you say was the biggest adjustment in working in the collegiate space from where you were in the professional space before that?
Collegiate sports, one thing I immediately learned is that you are managing multiple sports and a lot more stakeholders. With pro sports at working at the Miami Heat, you know, we were focused on one team and one season, and you know, we owned the arena and all of the assets, so that made, you know, making decisions a lot easier for the organization. Whereas working in college sports, you've got different sports that you're selling tickets for with different timelines and a lot of different stakeholders involved. So making decisions and getting things going can take a little bit longer just because there's a lot more that goes into the decision-making process.
That's great. And then, you know, after that, I know you kind of took a little bit of a, I wouldn't say the word hiatus, but you pivoted a little bit to really enhance your skill set working with all industries, right? And you worked and moved into the trade show space for a little bit. You know, how did that help you evolve both personally and professionally?
Sure. So after helping out at Rutgers with the transition in the Big Ten, I moved to a role with company Display America in Atlanta, where I managed trade show teams all over the country. So I was responsible for flying out to events and working with teams that were putting together huge exhibits at some of these large trade show conventions that included everything from, you know, touch screens to waterfalls to a live band that would be performing there. And some of our clients included Office Depot and some medical companies. So there I really learned the art of project management, and that can really be applied to anything, I feel. So ticket sales specifically, I felt that I've brought a lot of it back to selling group theme days and putting together timelines. So applying Gantt charts and having that kind of way to conceptualize what I'm looking at for ticket sales timelines has been great, you know, management experience that I've been able to bring back.
And what, you know, what did you enjoy about most about living in Atlanta at the time?
So definitely not the traffic. I'm sure you'll hear everybody say, but I love the food in Atlanta. So I'm definitely a foodie. Fun fact, I was actually helping out on a food truck while I was living in Atlanta. So on the weekends, I had friends that manage a food truck, Nana G's Chicken and Waffles, that I would actually help out with on the weekend, roll up my sleeves and make some waffles.
That's awesome. With some chicken?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Very good chicken. They've been featured on ESPN. They were featured during the College National Championship a couple years ago with a feature when the game was in Atlanta. And they've just opened a brick and mortar location. So they're doing pretty well.
That's amazing. So, you know, talking more currently speaking, right, you know, over the last almost 6 years now, which is nuts, you know, you had the opportunity to join Learfield IMG College on their ticket solution side. And your first opportunity there was with UNC Charlotte, right? This was an opportunity for you to take your sports experience, but also take some of that management experience you learned in the trade show space. You know, how did this opportunity first come to fruition?
Yeah, so I was living in Atlanta at the time and had kept in touch with Wes England, who I mentioned earlier. At the time, he was working with Learfield IMG College and had let him know that I was trying to get back into sports, but was looking for the right fit and the right opportunity. And the role for associate general manager at the University of Charlotte presented itself. And having grown up nearby in Virginia and several friends in the area, that was the right fit, and took that opportunity August 2015 now.
Crazy. So you know, how would you say you were as a first-time manager in sports?
So definitely as a first-time manager, I'd say I was more raw than a first-time seller. You know, it took me time to work on leadership skills just because for me it was you know, you can be good at something, but that doesn't always mean you'll be good at leading others and managing, you know, sales teams. There's a lot more to it. So, you know, learning to work with the teams, kind of put the brakes on the sales myself, and not micromanage as much of the process. It took me some time to learn some of those skills, but those are all great skills that I've been able to pick up here over the past few years.
And what would you say was your the biggest challenges there, not just for yourself, but maybe for your team?
So for me, it was learning to delegate. You know, I wanted to do everything, like I mentioned, make every phone call still, and there just aren't enough hours in the day, moving into that leadership role. And even at Charlotte, I still had to do a lot of that myself. We were a leaner and meaner sales team than some of the other universities around the country. So, you know, it was really learning to prioritize in terms of scheduling and delegating when I can.
And, you know, from maybe like a market trend comparison there, you know, how would you say you and your team did at separating yourself in the market with strong competition on the team side and NASCAR, just, you know, a lot of clutter in Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte was definitely a tough sale. You know, at that time, the Panthers had actually gone through their undefeated season on their Super Bowl run. And, you know, you have Clemson, UNC, Duke, NC State, all those schools just down the road. So at the University of Charlotte, we were a very new program. When I got there, football was 3 years old, and that was the first year we were going to be playing at the FBS level. So we really used that as our strength to, you know, alumni and the families in the area to be a part of the foundation and help build Charlotte football. But then also, you know, being the family friendly option that's in town, so you don't have to drive down the road to Clemson or any of those schools.
That's great. And then I know in your second, probably towards the end of your second year there, you got promoted from assistant general manager to the GM of that property. You know, what would you say attributed to that?
Sure. So as I mentioned, that was my opportunity to get back into sports. So I think a lot of it was really just getting in there and proving that I could sell with that first opportunity to get back into the role. And once I had my feet under me and things were really operating on full cylinders at Charlotte, was opportunity to grow and start adding to what we were doing.
That's great. And then, you know, how would you say that role of yours expanded in that transition?
Sure. So it's twofold. It actually expanded there at the property level at Charlotte, where I was more involved with meetings, planning, putting together ticket packages and everything involved with selling those. But then also from the company level with Learfield IMG College, I got more involved with training and some of the other opportunities within the country, you know, to share best practices and other tools that we do.
You know, what was one of the best wins or best practices with you and your team when you were in Charlotte?
So Charlotte, the one on paper that I'd say is the biggest win we had was on September 9th, 2018, we had record attendance at the football game against App State. So had over 19,000 people in a 15,000 seat stadium. So I'm pretty confident saying that record will stand until that stadium gets expanded, which I know it was built to be expanded, so that day will come. We actually brought in some extra bleachers for that game and knew it was going to be a huge game with the crosstown rivalry. So got about 19,151 in there for that game. But for myself, I look back at that time at Charlotte and I'd say maybe even a bigger win for us was a youth sports day that we had for men's basketball, where we had a real rough season on the court. Team didn't do too well. Actually, we're playing under an interim coach, and that was the last game of the season. So, you know, we wouldn't expect a huge crowd for that game, but we were able to pack over 1,000 group tickets in there for our U Sports Day. And with all of the youth sports teams that were in there, the place was rocking. So the team was actually able to pull out a win for senior day, and it was a great closeout to a tough year.
And, you know, I know from there now for probably almost 3 years, you've been leading efforts at Memphis. You know, how has that been so far?
Great. So it was a tremendous opportunity for myself to come over October of 2018 and grow within Learfield IMG College to the University of Memphis property. So at the time, Penny Hardaway had just been hired as our men's basketball coach. Football, we're now seven straight bowl appearances, and it's been a great opportunity to see both of those sports at their peak right now. We hosted College Game Day in 2019, which I would argue is one of the better College Game Days that's ever happened. If you have a chance, go check it out on YouTube. But for that game, we set the AAC attendance record for a home game of 59,000. 506 against SMU and went to the Cotton Bowl that year. So I've been a part of a lot of highlights here over the past 3 years.
That's amazing. And what would you say was the biggest adjustment there for you from maybe all your roles that were predominantly on the East Coast?
Sure. So again, Memphis is the 11th city I've lived in. The other 10 were up and down the East Coast, like you mentioned. So it took me some time to really get to know Memphis. You know, it's a different place. Here, the Memphis Tigers are definitely the hometown team everywhere you go. You know, there's not an NFL team. And for me, it was adjusting just to being in a different part of the country. I think it's a great sports town, and the fans are very, very passionate here.
That's awesome. And, you know, how has the success both in basketball and football helped you in selling out games and engage the fans in the market?
Yeah, so in 2019, we were firing on all cylinders, really. We were one of three schools in the country that had a crowd of over 59,000 for football and over 16,000 for men's basketball. So with the excitement for College Game Day, we were able to capitalize on that. Plus with the time that Penny Hardaway has been here coaching, we've had our highest season ticket base for men's basketball that we've ever had. So keeping the fans engaged and involved really has been easy because the team's been helping a ton.
That's great. And what would you say are some ways that you and your team have helped, you know, stay engaged with the fans, easing back into full capacity again?
Yeah, so it's been a long stretch here the last, you know, 13, 14 months. I think hopefully I can speak for most of the sports industry in saying that there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel we can all see here. We actually just announced last week that we're going to be going to 100% capacity for football and men's basketball and all of our sports this fall. So that's been a great way to get the fans excited about the season. Of course, early on, we were doing a lot of virtual events and other engagement pieces, things of that nature. But I think it's really come down to this year, more so than ever, a lot of the just hand-to-hand combat of having a sales team that's able to pick up the phone and educate fans with everything that's going on. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of changes with games and things of that nature. So really it's come down to, for me, come down to the sales team's efforts, just being a voice for the university and the athletic department for our fans.
And you talked a little bit more earlier about being a foodie when you were in Atlanta, which probably translates to 11 different cities, but what's your go-to thing to eat in Memphis?
So I could get in trouble here with that question because barbecue is it's very, very hot topic here. And so for wings, I definitely go to Central Barbecue. For ribs, there's a company, Memphis Barbecue Company, actually, that is in Mississippi. And then for just top down menu, I'd say One and Only Barbecue is a great barbecue option. Of course, we're just talking barbecue when you're talking Memphis.
Got it. And, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you earlier, I didn't get a chance to, but if you can go back in time to maybe some of your earlier, your roles in entry level, you know, is there anything you would have done differently now knowing what you know today?
Honestly, I don't think there would be anything I'd change. You know, with the opportunity at the Heat, we had all anticipated a big free agency with the LeBron signing coming and, you know, the free agency cap and everything that was going on there. So I had the opportunity to line up my role at Rutgers pretty pretty soon thereafter. So and getting up to different part of the country, working in college sports, has given me an opportunity to work on all sides of sports and wouldn't change a thing.
And last thing I would ask you today is, you know, if you could give someone starting or growing in the industry any advice, what would that be?
For me, what's helped me set myself apart over the years is just being the hardest working person in the room. So I would say to come in, roll up your sleeves and hustle. You can fine tune everything else and pick up the craft. And then also networking. I think anything you can do to network, because your first job won't be your last job. So understanding that people will go to different places and be able to help you get where you want to be down the road is a great thing to do early on. So not just networking where you're working, but getting out to events, getting involved in organizations and telling people who you are and what you do.
That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate you contributing to the program today and, you know, look forward to catching up soon.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Equity Podcast, where we discuss the value that sports brings to business. Follow us for new episodes on a weekly basis. See you next time.